Some say the Bible foretells a time when many will vanish into thin air. A time when the world is plunged into 7 years of tribulation. But can this really be supported by the Bible? Join us as we take a look at Left Behind, Fact or Fiction.
Welcome to this special series of programs on Bible prophecy on Three Angels Broadcasting. The title of this series is Left Behind, No More. There's been an explosion of interest in Bible prophecy in the United States and around the world in the last 30 years. Going back to the 1970s, Hal Lindsey popularized the concept of the rapture or the coming of Christ with his book, The Late Great Planet Earth. It sold more than 14 million copies. There have been magazines and books that have come off the presses by prolific writers in the last 30 years on the second coming of Christ. Recently, Newsweek magazine featured a front page cover edition of their magazine on Bible prophecy. The title of that Newsweek cover was The Coming of Jesus, Prophecies of Revelation. Hollywood has gotten into the scene and produced The Omega Code, a blockbuster movie hit that its first weekend grossed $2.5 million in sales. If you take your mouse and click on your computer, you'll notice that there are over 239 different websites on Bible prophecy. But probably the thing that has influenced the American consciousness in the last year and a half more than anything else on Bible prophecy is a series of books called The Left Behind series by Tim LaHaye and Gary Jenkins. This series of 8 books, and soon to be 9, has taken America by storm. They have sold over $140 million worth. Now let me tell you what the press is saying about these books. Publishers Weekly says this: this is the most successful Christian fiction series ever. Now this Christian fiction series reached number one on the New York Times bestseller list, reached number one on USA Today bestseller list, reached number one on major bestseller lists throughout the United States. Time magazine said Tim LaHaye and Jerry B. Jenkins are doing for Christian fiction what John Grisham did for courtroom thrillers. The New York Times said it combines Tom Clancy-like suspense with touches of romance, high-tech flash, and biblical references. The Dallas Morning News added, this is not your mama's Christian fiction anymore. And the Entertainment Weekly adds, Christian thriller, Bible-based fiction, juiced-up morality tale, call it what you like. The Left Behind series now has a label its creators could never have predicted, blockbuster success. Why are people so interested in Bible prophecy? Why this explosion of interest in the future? I'd like to suggest a reason. Deep within the hearts of men and women everywhere, there is a desire for hope. They're looking for answers to the deepest problems of the human heart. They want to sense that their children have a future. When you look out over our world today, it's a world that although there is an optimistic spirit on the part of many looking to the future, there is that nagging sense that something is wrong. When you look at morality, homes falling apart, political corruption, the rising drug culture, you look out at the rising divorce rate, increased crime, the threat of nuclear problems that hang over our heads. When you look at our society, sickness and suffering and sorrow and heartache and death. When you look at our society, what is the solution to crime and violence? What's the solution to homes falling apart? What's the solution to the problem of suffering? What's the solution to the problem of sickness? Where are you going to find solutions to the problem of death? What is beyond tomorrow? Deep within the hearts of men and women everywhere, there is that desire for hope. And the Bible indeed talks about hope. In Titus, the second chapter, and the 12th verse, the scripture puts it this way. It says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Verse 13, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what the second coming of Christ is. It is the blessed hope in John, the 14th chapter. And verses 1 to 3, Jesus gave the promise of his coming. You know, throughout Scripture, the second coming of Christ is mentioned 2,500 times. For every prophecy in the Old Testament on the first coming of Jesus, there are 8 prophecies on the second coming of Jesus. In the New Testament, once in every 25 verses, the second coming of Christ is mentioned. And here in John, the 14th chapter, Jesus gives us this promise. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, Jesus said, I will come again. There you have it, Jesus' promise. Not I might come again, not perhaps I'll come again, not maybe I'll come again. Jesus said, I will come again. The coming of Christ is the promise of Scripture, the promise of our Lord. David, the psalmist, said in Psalm 50, verse 3, our God shall come and not keep silence. The apostle Paul shouted it when he said, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. And the angels said, this same Jesus shall come in like manner. There you have four shall or will texts, four promises. David says, our God shall come. Paul says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. The angels say, he shall come and not keep silent. He shall come. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven. This same Jesus shall come in like manner. The angels triumphant, and Jesus himself says, I will come again. But yet, there are so many different ideas about the second coming of Christ. May I ask you a question? What will you put your confidence in? The confidence in a Christian thriller or the confidence in Scripture? Now, in actual fact, what these two books teach is dramatically different. What this one teaches is that there will be a rapture that will be secret. The believers, it says, will be caught up in the air. The unbelievers or unsaved will be left on earth to go through the tribulation. That during the tribulation, the Antichrist will arise, this book says, and appear as good at first. He will build and he'll form a covenant with the Jews. The temple will be built in Jerusalem. The tribulation will be a fierce, tormenting, horrendous, horrific time. There will be a second chance in that trial of tribulation for salvation. 144,000 Jews will go out and preach the gospel. At the end of the 7 years, this fiction says that the holy city, Jesus, will descend into New Jerusalem. Christ will establish his holy city in the New Jerusalem on earth for 1,000 years. That picture, ladies and gentlemen, my brother, my sister, is quite different than what the Bible teaches. What does the Bible teach about the second coming of Christ? Now, there is something that we need to be aware of right from the beginning, and that is the Bible does predict that there will be false prophecies about the second coming of Christ before Jesus returns, and many will be deceived. See, this is not merely an academic question. It's not merely a question of, oh, you believe this about the second coming, and I believe this. It is a matter of a deception that has been palmed off by Satan so that people will not be ready for the true second coming of Christ. The Bible teaches that there will be false prophecies regarding the second coming that appear at end time. Matthew 24, verse 24 says, false Christ and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders. This is Matthew 24, verse 24. so as to deceive, if possible, the elect. The saved, the elect of God, will be deceived, according to this passage, by false prophecy just before the second coming of Christ. That means it is imperative for us to know and to understand the facts surrounding the second coming of our Lord. That means it's absolutely imperative for us to understand Christ's second coming. Now, what are the events that surround the coming of Jesus Christ? Here is the first that the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that the coming of Christ will be a visible event. The Bible does not teach that the second coming of Christ, or what some people call the rapture, is a secret event known only to believers. Notice how the Scripture puts this in Matthew, the 24th chapter, and the 27th verse. Here you have it, Matthew chapter 24 and verse 27. For as lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. It says, as lightning flashes from the east even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. That is a spectacular event. That is a glorious event. That is not something that only a few see. It's not something secret. Who will see Jesus when he comes? Who will see our Lord when he returns? Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7 says, behold, he's coming with clouds. And what does it say there? Every eye will see him. The eyes of the young and the eyes of the old. The eyes of the rich and the eyes of the poor. The eyes of the African and the eyes of the South American and the eyes of the European and the eyes of the American. The Bible does not say that Christ will come secretly only to a few. Christ came quietly once. Only believers saw him come then. He came the first time as a babe born in Bethlehem's manger. He came as the first time seen only to those who were believers. They gathered around. Mary and Joseph were there. A few shepherds were there. Later, the wise men who followed the star were there. But when Christ comes the second time, he's not coming quietly. He's not coming secretly. He's not coming as a babe born in Bethlehem's manger. No, friend, the Bible says that when Jesus comes, he comes as King of Kings. He comes as Lord of Lords. He comes gloriously in the sky, as lightning flashes from the east even unto the west. The Bible does not know the thought of Jesus coming secretly only to a few. When Christ comes, he comes visibly. He comes so that every eye will see him. He comes in spectacular glory. This same Jesus that lived on earth, that walked the dusty streets of Galilee, this same Christ who touched the eyes of the blind and they were opened, who touched the ears of the deaf and they were unstopped. This Jesus walked through the crowds. And as he did, this Christ took children in his arms and they were resurrected. This is the Jesus that's coming again, this loving, caring, compassionate Christ. He's the one that hung on the cross. He's the one with nails through his hands. He is the one that expressed his love for us on Calvary. And he is the one that triumphed over the tomb. He is the one that was resurrected from the dead. He is the Jesus that is coming again, this loving, life-giving, compassionate, caring Lord. He is not coming as some vindictive judge. He is not coming as some wrathful tyrant. The book of Acts describes the coming of our Lord. The disciples stretched their necks as they watched Jesus ascend into heaven. I'm sure there were tears in their eyes. They wondered whether they would ever see their Lord again. And in the book of Acts, chapter 1, in verse 9, the Bible puts it this way. Now when he had spoken these things, they watched. He was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And the scripture continues in verse 10, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, saying to them, this same Jesus, did you get that, friend? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. This same Jesus that you saw ascend, this Christ is coming. His ascension was visible. His descending from heaven will be visible. They saw him go up in the clouds, and they will see him return in the clouds. The scripture says in Luke chapter 21 in verse 27 that when Christ comes, that we will see him come in power and glory. The Bible says, then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and glory. Christ's coming will be a visible event. Christ's coming will be a literal event. Christ's coming will be a glorious event. There is nothing secret about this event, friend. This will be the most glorious event of the history of the ages. And the Bible teaches that when Jesus Christ comes back, he will not come back alone. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31, the scripture puts it this way, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. Now here are three things about the return of our Lord that we've noticed so far. We've noticed so far that when Christ comes back, he comes visibly. Every eye will see him. This is not something secret, is it? Secondly, we notice that when Christ comes back, he comes back literally. This is a physical, bodily Christ who returns in heaven. He comes back in glory and in splendor. The Christ that was resurrected from the dead. It's the angels that said, this same Jesus, he ascended into heaven and he will descend from heaven. Third thing we've noticed is that when he comes back, it is a spectacular event. It's visible, it's literal, it's spectacular or glorious, and he doesn't come alone. He comes with his holy angels in all of his glory and all of his splendor. It doesn't sound like a secret rapture, does it? It's the climax of the ages. It's the hope of the prophets. It's the hope of the apostles. It's the hope of the disciples. This is the great victory, triumphal return of Jesus Christ. The Bible does not teach that there are two returns of Christ, one before the tribulation of a so-called 7 years and one after. Not at all. Christ comes in all of his power, all of his glory, all of his splendor. In fact, look how it's put in Matthew, the 24th chapter and the 31st verse. The scripture says, and he will send his angel with a great sound of a trumpet. That's an audible event. And the verse continues this way, and they will gather together, the elect, from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Picture this scene. The earth is illuminated with the glory of the coming of Jesus Christ. He comes with all of his angels. Every eye sees him. It's visible. It is glorious and spectacular. This is the real Jesus coming. What are those events that the Bible describes? A visible Christ comes. He doesn't come back alone. He comes in glory. He comes in splendor. And it is an audible event. Not only does every eye see it, but every ear hears it. Does this sound secret to you? Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a what? Read it there from your screen, right in your living room. With a what? With a shout. With a voice of the archangel. And the trumpet of God will sound, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Jesus comes with the trumpet of God. Why does the Bible use the symbolism of a trumpet? Because when trumpets were played in the New Testament, at the end of a battle, it was the trumpet of victory. The great controversy is ended. Sin and sinners are no more. Christ comes. It's glorious. The grave's open. The righteous are caught up to meet Christ in the sky. It's a glorious return. The wicked are destroyed with the brightness of Christ's coming, as the righteous are resurrected. At that trumpet blast of the angel, babies are placed in their mother's arms again. Have you lost some loved one by death? Some father, some mother, some sister, some brother. When Jesus Christ comes, the graves will be opened. The righteous will be resurrected. They will be caught up to meet Christ in the sky. The righteous dead and the righteous living will ascend through the heavens together, my friend. The Bible teaches that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. It says, "Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord." What words of hope. What words of encouragement. Jesus returns. The righteous dead are resurrected. The righteous living are caught up together to meet the Lord in the air with their loved ones. Deep within your heart, do you long to see that father that died of cancer? Deep within your heart, do you long to embrace that baby that died in childbirth? Do you long to see that teenage son that was killed by a drunk driver in a car accident? You can see your husband, your wife, your son, your daughter again. The coming of Christ is a blessed hope. You see, the evil one, the deceiver, would have us think that Jesus is going to kind of slip back and then there will be some great tribulation. No, my friend, when Christ comes, he comes gloriously. He comes spectacularly in the clouds of heaven. And when Jesus returns, the Bible teaches that all the saved will be changed. We'll look up and we'll say, "This is our God. We've waited for him. He will save us." New life will pulsate through our bodies. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51, the Bible says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall all be changed." Verse 52 adds, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound. And the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." Think of it, friends. Jesus Christ returns. The righteous dead are resurrected. The righteous living are transformed, and they're caught up to meet Christ in the air. What joy, reunited with our loved ones again, reunited with our families again, never to live in a world of sickness and suffering and heartache and sorrow and death again. Think of what it's going to be like to be with our loved ones through the eternal ages. Think of that joy, that happiness that will radiate from every face. You see, the second coming of Christ, the appearing of our Lord in heaven, is a visible event. Every eye will see him. He'll announce it to the universe. His angels will come with him. It is a glorious, spectacular event. It is an event that is earth-shaking. It's dynamic. It's climactic. It's the end of history. Our King is coming, and he's going to announce it to the whole universe. The great controversy will be ended. Sin will be destroyed. The Bible is very clear on what happens to the unsaved. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1, the Bible says, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." Now, when will this happen? Verse 10, when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all who believe. So the Bible teaches that when Christ comes, there will be only two classes, the saved and the lost. Look at the parables of Scripture. When Jesus comes, there's the parable of the sheep and the goats, the lost and the saved. When Jesus comes, there's the parable of the wise and foolish virgins, the saved and the lost. When Jesus comes, there's the parable of the householder, the good and evil servants, the saved and the lost. When Jesus comes, there is no second chance. When Jesus comes, there is no second opportunity. I've had people say to me, Mark, do you believe in the second chance, that after Christ comes, people will be alive on earth and they will have a second opportunity for salvation? And I've said to them, God does not need to give me a second chance because he's already given me 1,000 chances in this life. Every breath you take is another opportunity to serve Jesus. Every day you live is another opportunity to serve Jesus. When Christ comes the second time, the wicked, the unsaved, will be destroyed by the brightness of his coming. One of the greatest deceptions of Satan is that if you do not accept Christ in this life, that in the tribulation after the rapture, you will have another opportunity, although you'll have to go through suffering during the tribulation. The Bible says in Joshua 24, verse 15, choose you this day who you will serve, and let it be the Lord. The Bible says that when Christ comes, men and women are saved or lost. We're either resurrected from the dead because we're righteous and we've given our lives to Christ and we're transformed. We're either alive and transformed and caught up to meet Jesus in the sky, or we are destroyed by the brightness of Christ's coming. Would you like to say, Jesus, today, make me ready for your coming? Would you like to say, Jesus, today I open my heart to you. I give you anything that would keep me from being ready for your coming. Lord, I want to love you and serve you forever. Would you like to say that right now as we pray? Dear Lord, save us in your kingdom. We give ourselves to you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a Three Angels Broadcasting Network production.